Welcome to the JM Podcast, where we take a deep dive into different educational topics to help you optimize your life. Today, we have another Jeremy and Friends episode where we're bringing on our nurse specialist. You like how I continue?
Thanks, Jeremy.
Keep changing your.
I know. Every day I get each time I'm on here, I get a bit of a new title. Yeah, I'm here for it.
At least it's not registered dietitian. At least it's not dietitian that I got you on the first one when I was trying to be all professional and list all your cool stuff off. We're back with Nurse Maddie, Captain Wacker, whatever you would like to call her, on today. And we are going to talk about the benefits of resistance training. And the reason that we chose this one as a topic, you know, is a couple different reasons. One, I want people to understand how beneficial resistance training is to overall health, decreasing body fat, and just normal, like what I would consider optimal function. But also I wanted, you know, to hear it from you, right? And if you guys have not had a chance, I'll put Maddie's, you know, social media in the link, because I want you guys to go over and look at her, because I think there's a stigma a lot of times that people come out and, you know, it's like resistance training. Like, you know, you do a lot of resistance training, but like people just think that they're going to get, especially females, they think they're going to get bulky and be big when they're resistance training. And that's not necessarily the case.
Yeah, I'm really excited to cover this, Jeremy, because I know today we're kind of diving into especially resistance training for women and kind of what you just mentioned, not just the benefits, but also the stigma that surrounds that. And I think having the perspective both from you as a male perspective and then from me as the female perspective to really round out this discussion and to hopefully bust any misconceptions around resistance training. That's a big ask. I know we won't get to all of them. But to just have a nice discussion about how resistance training has a place in everyone's life.
And I think before I ask you to get into the benefits, you know, I just want to say, like, hey, a lot of these benefits are for guys and gals, right? I want to make sure that you know, from the beginning, we put that out there, right? So your benefits, there's going to be a lot of crossover. Where we get into the mental maybe side of things and start talking about the stigma and what maybe thoughts and myths and misconceptions are, I think that's where it'd be a little bit more specifically geared to, you know, the female population. But I think here in the beginning, when, you know, I have you do the benefits, I want people to know that's both for male and female.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I think to your point, it is the physical and the mental that benefit men and women alike. And I think that's really our goal with this podcast, right? Is to equalize the playing field. Resistance training is for everyone. And I think there's just been more stigma for women that has led them maybe to feel otherwise, like resistance training isn't for them, or that they don't have a place with resistance training. But you're absolutely right. The benefits that come from resistance training, you know, everyone should have it incorporated into their life. And we'll get into this a little bit later, but that can look like so many different things. And so that's one of the things I'm most excited to talk about. But yeah, absolutely. These benefits are far and wide, and they encompass everyone.
Well, let's start first with, you know, I think we go physical benefits, you know, because a lot of people who are listening to this are either, you know, they're training for something, you know, that they're wanting to do, like an event, or training for life, or they're looking to decrease body fat, look better, you know, have better body composition. So let's start with the physical first and just kind of, you know, list them out, talk about them, you know, what are those benefits that we get from making sure that we have resistance training in our program?
That was a great introduction, because I think everything you just said, that's what resistance training gives you, right? Whether you are looking to be stronger, you need the stimulus of lifting something heavier than what you've previously lifted in order to build strength. That comes from resistance training. You need it to mitigate injury and to facilitate other forms of training. So even if resistance training is never your first love or primary activity or primary sport, whatever you want to call it, if you are an endurance athlete, if you are into dance, or maybe you do ballet, gymnastics, maybe you are a skier, or you love backpacking or hiking, all of those activities require movement competency, and they require supportive training. And that supportive training often comes in the form of resistance training. Because again, resistance training is so broad. It's not going into the gym am and doing bench press for three sets of 10. You know, it includes balance training, it includes mobility training. It brings in these things that I think a lot of people don't always think of. You mentioned body composition. That's absolutely a big, big thing that resistance training tackles. In order to, this kind of opens up a can of worms, but in order to get that, you know probably where I'm going, in order to get that, I'm using air quotes just because I know people are listening, that toned look, that really just means you're developing musculature and you have a low enough body fat to see that musculature. And so in order to develop visible muscles, you have to give your muscles some sort of stimulus to grow. And that stimulus, again, comes in the form of resistance training. That really hits most of them. And then I guess going back, if you are an athlete or you, and that's a, I say that with, you know, that's a wide encompassing term. I would say most people who do any sort of activity are some form of athlete. But if you do get injured, resistance training is a huge part of in the future when your tissues encounter loads during everyday life, whether that's picking things up or when you have to move to a new apartment or you have to carry your children or carry your groceries or just carry your body weight around as you get older. Resistance training really hits all of those things.
And a couple of things that you said that I want to point out there. I love how you use the terminology. It's resistance training is supporting training to what they're doing, right? And what come to mind there, especially in like runners, you know, so if you run as your recreational sport, you know, or running is your sport, it actually has one of the highest rates of injury per participation because it's easy to get the volume in. It's easy to go out and run. Maybe your gait is not 100% correct, right? So being able to do resistance training, especially lower body resistance training, is going to help decrease those risks. So that was very important. And then, yeah, like something you said, and I say this, you know, and the listeners may have heard me say this before, but always when I'm working with females, if I have a new female that has yet to like trust me in the process of like my game plan and what I teach, I will ask them to get a photo of the person that they want to look like. Like, show me that body type that you want to look like. And then I can show you that that person does resistance training in their routine. Right. To have that, like you were saying, the air quotes, the tone look. Okay. So, you know, those are some very important, you know, from the standpoint, the physical things that, you know, come with the benefits to resistance training. Before we get to the mental, you know, and I know I've done this on a previous podcast, but I just want to kind of, you know, go over it and what I'll have you do if I miss one, Maddie, is to make sure that you throw it in there. But when we say resistance training, these can be body weight movements, right? So you can use your body weight to do resistance training, such as push-up, lunges, air squats, like that type of stuff, pull-ups. You can use traditional weights, right? So you're using dumbbells, barbells, machines, like that's resistance training. You can use bands, you know, so like resistance bands, that is a form of resistance training. So there's multiple different ways to do resistance training. I just want to put that out there to people. So when you hear the term resistance, it doesn't always have to mean, quote, barbell or weights. There are multiple different ways to do resistance training.
That's a really good point, Jeremy. And that's one that I wanted to bring up. You don't ever have to pick up a barbell in order to do resistance training. And I think that's one of the, you know, one of the misconceptions that people have. And that's, I think a barbell is an advanced implement. And it is a great form of resistance training. And if you like to use it, there are so many ways to use it. But if that's not something that interests you right now, you don't have to start there. You don't even ever have to have it on your radar. But kind of dipping your toe into the resistance training world with something that does speak to you, maybe that's bands, maybe that's, TRX, maybe that's dumbbells, maybe it's kettlebells, you know, and we'll go into this, I think, with the mental, but as you build confidence in those forms of resistance training, more often than not, people will be open to trying those other modalities.
Yeah, because the movement's the same, right? From us as, you know, strength and conditioning coaches, like for me to teach you the barbell deadlift, the movement of the deadlift, right? That's going to be the same, whether it is a barbell, whether it is a dumbbell, whether it is your child, whether it is a bag of sand, like the movement pattern will remain the same, but you hit that like nail on the head. And what I would say that we need to change that not just we being me and you, but like this fitness
Maddie
community.
and Jeremy against the world.
Yeah, like we need to make sure everybody knows how to get a barbell in their hand. Like I want that. I want people to not to be comfortable with barbells, right? Because I think that, the barbell is made for a reason because it is one of the safer ways to move load in those patterns. But you're 100% correct because people have not been educated on how to do the movements. They're afraid of them, right? So, and once again, guys, like just what she said, it doesn't have to be a barbell. Even though Jeremy is sitting here saying, like, I would love to educate you and show you how to move a barbell because it's really not that complicated. I can teach it.
Coaching plug.
Yeah, exactly. But like, that would be my goal is we get where a lot more people are comfortable moving the barbells. Because if I know if you're comfortable moving a barbell, you're comfortable moving any other object that is out there.
Yeah. Yep.
Which leads us into being more mentally, right, prepared or, some of those benefits that come with confidence. So other than confidence, what are some of the other aspects mentally that we can improve through our resistance training?
This is one of my favorite ones to discuss because I do think the physical benefits of resistance training are perhaps a bit more familiar or obvious to people. But the mental benefits of resistance training are huge, and I can speak from that from experience with that. It, like I said, I'm just going to understate the confidence. It gives you the confidence to face challenges. It gives you the confidence to try difficult things. It gives you the confidence to not excel at something right away and to continue working at something. And when you feel competent at it, the only way to go forward is to make it harder again. And so it gives you the opportunity to continually challenge yourself, in the hopes and in the pursuit of getting stronger or getting better or getting quicker, more powerful. More muscle, whatever that quest is that you're on, resistance training forces you to continually challenge yourself, which translates well beyond outside of the weight room. I mean, gives you the mental ability to be okay with something not being easy. And when you do that, you open yourself up to becoming better at problem solving, you become more resilient, you work harder to accomplish an outcome that's important to you, even if that outcome doesn't come easily. And so, yeah, I just the confidence is huge. I think it helps with stress management. Oh, go ahead.
I was gonna say you get better, but the weight room
Yeah.
is heavy, right? That's the
Yeah.
beautiful thing about it. Like, you get stronger, but your relative, let's just say 3 rep max, right, always feels heavy. But the
Yeah.
beautiful thing is you can look back and see that your time, your effort, your consistency is paying off. And this is a little bit of a sidebar. This is what I've loved to see with Brady and Brielle. So those my two older kids, like they're getting into lifting, and what they learn is it's frustrating and they can't do movements, and then they learn them, right? But also like when they see that they do it consistently, they love seeing the number go up, right? And that's that is the beautiful thing out of it, right? And that builds strength. I think it builds in everything else. It's like the aha moment for the kids should be the aha moment for us.
Yeah.
So if you're telling me if I show up consistently 3 days a week and do X movements, right, over time, I will get better at that. And the answer is yes. We can apply that in a lot of different things in our life.
100%. I want to point out two keywords that you said. It might be more than two words, but two key phrases. One is consistency, and the other one is overtime. And so often, we talked about this in the first episode we did together. So often, we expect really fast results. And I think the weight room is one of the best places to learn patience, consistency, routine, and that simple is sometimes the way to go. It does not have to be exciting every single time. It's not going to feel perfect every time. But if you continue to show up for yourself, there will be days when it just hits you, the progress that you've made. And those days make it worth it. So I really think that teaching patience, teaching consistency, teaching habits, all of those things come from strength training. it also, again, it gives you the opportunity and a platform to continuously learn new skills, no matter what age you are, no matter what point of life you are. You know, there's always a new movement or a new something that you can try in the weight room that's going to challenge your brain and your body a little bit more, which is pretty cool. And I think one of the biggest things, and I do think that this is, I think it applies to men and women, but I think this, I would really like to highlight this point for the women out there who are resistance training, haven't yet, want to start, don't know where to start. It has a huge impact on improving our relationship to exercise, which for the longest time has been sold to us and reflected as a means to keep us small, to lose weight, to burn calories, to sweat.
Yeah.
And it opens the doors for resistance training and for exercise as a whole to be so much more than that.
And I feel like that has changed, right? And you and I were not here in the 70s. Like, I barely made it here out of the 70s. But you know, I was young in the 80s. But yeah, that stigma of like females should just be cardio bunnies, you know, for lack of better terms, and that's, you know, how you should train, and guys should be lifting. No, I think that it has gotten better, right? Like, you know, quote unquote women with muscles is normal now, right?
And well, I think it is to us, Jeremy, working in our space.
Yes.
You know, but I still think, or even I think it's normalizing. And I think women see that and they like it, but I don't think that we're always able to internalize it in a way that we're like, oh, that could be me. Like, I can do that too. I don't have to keep myself in the box I'm in. And yeah, I think that can be tough, because I'm sure you still, like you said, you still get clients who come in who, you know, refer to toning, and they think the way to get there is to eat less and to do cardio.
You know what? You corrected me. And I say it's normal in the sense of it's normal in my subcultures, right?
Yeah, so and me too.
Yeah, it's normal in our H2F, you know, subculture within, you know, the Army. It is normal within my subculture of First Form. It is normal subculture of CrossFit. It's normal within the subculture of my family and my friends, right?
And I think that's amazing that to you it is normal, because what that tells me is that you're able to reflect what we're talking about to your clients in a way that they adopt it, right? So you see them lose these misconceptions and recognize the profound impact that resistance training can have, and therefore it you continually surround yourself with this being normal, which is great, because then that means to more people it is normal.
Well, let's pivot. Maybe we've got someone listening here who is brand new, right? And they're a female, and they're sitting there, they're smiling right now, because I, as a male, admitted that my partner in crime was correct, right?
But as women always are.
Correct. 100%. You were correct, Maddie. I'll put her name after it, because I know you guys like that. That's the reason I'm happily married. I'm learning. Let's pivot and start talking about, you know, the stigma, right? Right or wrong, let's talk about the stigma, you know, and we're listing out the benefits and all that, but just let's talk about where it's come from. And then from a female perspective, talk about your experience with resistance training and how, once again, you know, you still look like a runner, for lack of better terms, right? You look like a runner. A
fit, no matter how hard I try not to.
Yeah, like a fit runner that has, you know, muscles. So, you know, and I would say a sprinter. I would give you that. I wouldn't say that, yeah, you don't look like a marathoner. You look more like a sprinter, because you do have a good tone look, right? Look at us using those words.
I'm flattered.
So let's pivot. Let's go down that avenue and try to help people maybe reverse the stigma, if that's still the thought that they have.
Yeah, I think the first one that we can cover, and to give a little bit of credit back to you, I do think that this one is becoming less of a stigma, but I think it still exists, and that's that resistance training in the weight room is just for men. And I think you see this a lot, where women are just, you know, maybe intimidated or nervous or feel like they don't belong going into the weight room, because naturally, typically most gyms that you go into, the ratio of men to women is still going to be a little bit out of balance, right? There's still going to be more men than there are women most of the time. Unless, of course, you go to a gym like the one that I started at, which was females only. But for the most part, that ratio will be a little bit skewed. And I think that, you know, this came about largely out of, you know, when resistance training became popularized. It became popularized because of bodybuilding and Arnold. And that was where a lot of then research was focused. That was where a lot of media and attention was focused. And again, at that same time or around that same time, I think the physical training for women was much more focused on like the Jane Fonda aerobics, dancing, nothing associated with the weight room. So there were these stark differences kind of in environments where women and men belonged when it came to exercise. And why they were exercising, right? For men, it was to get big and strong. For women, it was to be small and lose weight.
Well, I'll enter just one thing in there that I think, you know, out of a subculture, I think that's the benefit in the last decade of CrossFit, right? Like, you know, being a better, in my opinion, a better avenue of weight training and introducing weights to the females in the bodybuilding world, right? You know, because I think a lot of that spawned out of then, okay, I see a lot more females that are doing powerlifting. I see a lot more females that are doing Olympic lifting, right? I see a lot more females that are doing bodybuilding because maybe they got started in the CrossFit world and then fell in love with that approach. So, you know, I think that's something that in later years here, you know, kind of skipping forward probably a decade from what you're referring to, the Jane Fonda and the Arnold world, where we saw a little bit of shift in this last decade. So, very good points. Just wanted to toss that one in there from a personal side or opinion.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really good point. And I think CrossFit did just that. It combined so many styles and types of training that it introduced people to different avenues they could take within resistance training. This is one area where I will caveat, I think it's really important that if you are going to get involved in CrossFit, I think it's marketed to, you know, everyone. And I think that's great, but I think it's really important to seek out a coach and make sure you have a qualified coach, just like you would if you were learning powerlifting movements or weightlifting movements. You know, they're not easy. You're not expected to know how to do them right away, even if that's how social media makes it seem. But I agree. I think that CrossFit, especially by having like in the official capacity, you know, they right out of the gate, they have, you know, specific weights for men and specific weights for women, which, yeah, of course, those weights are a little bit different, but automatically it included both men and women in that.
What I always tell people with this in the CrossFit is it's no different dietitians, right? Like, you want to find a CrossFit that fits your needs, right? And if you've never lifted before, then maybe you need to go to a CrossFit gym that has separate times that they work on the lifting, right, to help you with that. You know, so I think that's the big thing that has to be realized in that, you know, in that subculture is not all CrossFit gyms are created equal. You know, go in, find the community.
Yeah.
Fits you and the coaching style that fits you 100%.
Yeah. And I realize I should just interject with saying men and women, all human beings should, you know, do resistance training, should get involved, should find a community that they feel safe and welcomed in. And the benefits are going to apply to all.
Awesome. Now you talked about, you know, kind of the stigma that, you know, got, and I may have missed this, but I also think that at one time, and it could still be in some communities or some aspects, like that a woman shouldn't be strong, right? Like that's not your role, for lack of better
term.
Right. I still think that's out there a little bit, like, oh, well, no, you should be, you know, petite and not, you know, aggressive, right? And listen, guys, my wife is in the Hall of Fame for softball. She was a softball pitcher, right? So when you think feminine, yeah, like I consider her feminine, but I also see this aggressive side of things where, you know, she is, you know, standpoint of like, we'll strike people out and we'll throw hard and that type of stuff. So, you know, I want people to understand that when we say, be feminine in the sense of what has traditionally been there, unfortunately, I think that's for some people what they think when it comes to being feminine is being small and being petite, not being strong.
Yeah, I definitely think that stigma still exists. And I do think it goes back to quote unquote traditional roles of men and women. And, I think that by getting involved in resistance training, that stigma starts to break itself. And just like anything else, sometimes you have to just take action and motivation will follow. I think it's the same with resistance training. You just got to try it, get out there, immerse yourself in it, and these things will start to come to fruition. If you're on the fence, if you've been considering resistance training, hearing us talk about some of this, I hope it gives you the push. If you're not totally sold, my advice would be to give it a try. Try and fail more than once. And I think some of these, you'll start to notice that these stigmas don't exist in the gyms, in the weightlifting settings. They exist in the areas where people are far removed from them. And yeah, I think that's what's really important. And that is hopefully comforting to any individuals that want to get into the gym, because no one's going to be watching you. No one's going to be judging you. No one's going to have these stigmas in mind. It's the people who they're furthest away that believe them the most. As you get closer up, you realize that they don't hold merit.
And, another little pivot, you're talking about earlier, that you're not just saying, males and not, we're talking male benefits and female benefits like everybody. I think the next one is a little bit of a subculture and a subgroup too, right? But as we start to talk about like some stats that are out there and why it's so important from what the research and what data is telling us about living longer and healthier, having some muscle tissue, doing resistance training. Let's start, and kind of finish up the benefits there with the older population, right? So just because you're 60, 65 years old, doesn't mean that you can't benefit from starting
resistance. Real quick, not to interrupt, one last stigma. I don't know if we touched on it. I think this one's still really big with women, is that resistance training is synonymous with bodybuilding or synonymous with getting bulky. That will not happen. Unless you are very dialed into your training plan, your nutrition, and that means you're in a nutrition surplus with enough carbohydrates and fats and ample protein that's not being broken down so that you can actually build muscle, sleep, stress management, hydration, there's so many things that go into building muscle, and it is not easy, especially not to get huge or bulky, which I think is where the fear still lies. Picking up weights and resistance training, again, yields those benefits, but to actually get bulky or develop that kind of musculature will take much, much more than that.
And I think our listeners know that I'm not being mean when I say this. And if you're new, trust me, I my passion is working with people who are 60, 80, 100 pounds overweight, right? But if you're 100 pounds overweight, like, that didn't come from resistance training. Like, we have to be honest. You have to be honest with
yeah.
this. That come from, the environment that you're in and the lifestyle and the choices, right? So don't be afraid of lifting weights. It's not going to cause you to be bulky, right? As we're talking mm-hmm. about some help in decreasing body composition, you're going to see some of these stats that we're going to discuss about, like, just minimizing the risk that you're going to die of certain diseases comes down to how much muscle tissue you have. And that's a big deal.
It is. It really is. Yeah. Sorry. I just wanted to highlight that one, because I think that it is still a prevalent belief. But to kind of get back to what you were saying about, this is half stigma, half leading into what you wanted to talk about in terms of the research showing how beneficial resistance training is well into older age. And resistance training is not just for young people. It is especially not just for young people. It is good throughout the lifetime and has huge, huge benefits and has a huge impact on how successfully we age. Age is not a disease. Age is not, I was going to say age isn't a death sentence, but it kind of is.
Well,
but getting older is not.
Speaking of death sentence, okay, and the fact that I think the listeners are enjoying you, like I feel like right now there's polls out there and like you're the favorite today. Someone set you up to be the non-favorite.
Oh,
When you say older, you gotta define this. What's younger and older?
I know, because I look 13. Listeners, I promise I'm over 18.
You gotta put some
Yeah,
numbers on that.
we gotta put some numbers on it. But we'll call older, we'll use the official older adults term of 65 and older.
Look
How's
at
that?
that. She's pulling it out the stats. I like it. Okay, good comeback.
No one can get mad at me for the research, you
Yeah,
know. I'm
okay, I
just
got you.
speaking science here, folks.
Continue on.
But as we age, there are a number of things that happen, right? We begin to lose muscle mass. That just naturally occurs as we get older. It's harder to develop muscle mass. And we also don't synthesize or absorb and utilize the protein we ingest as well, which means as you get older, your protein requirements will increase. And that's really important to note because you want to have substantial protein for building your structures. And then you want to be able to utilize your carbohydrates and your fats and your micronutrients to energize you, to fuel you. And so you don't want to be relying on your protein as fuel. So you have to have enough of the protein, and you have to have enough of your other macronutrients to support all of that. And so that age-associated protein loss is called sarcopenia. And that is, you know, it's a natural thing that happens, but it can be mitigated by things like proper nutrition and resistance training. And it's really, really important because there are associations in the literature between decreased muscle function and decreased muscle mass and increased mortality, which in simple terms essentially means that the less muscle function you have and the less muscle you have, the higher your chances of death and disease are. And these associations aren't super simple. There are a lot of things that play into it. There's a lot of complexities, but there's a lot of evidence showing that that association is pretty clear, and it's pretty strong. And so that right there goes to show that resistance training and proper nutrition, especially the two in tandem, are so important for, again, we got to think big picture. It's not just, you know, how you look in the next mirror selfie. It's so important for longevity, for you being able to participate in the activities you love, for you being able to be engaged with your family, for you being able to stay out of a nursing home or stay out of the hospital. It's huge.
And hopefully, like if you're a new client of mine or you're an old client, you're hearing this, like now when you look back to maybe that first time you messaged me in the app and I said, hey, a couple of things. I need to have you in a little higher protein intake and I need you to focus a little bit more on resistance training. Hopefully that's making sense on why that was one of the initial recommendations that I do, right? Because if you come in and you have a little more experience on your side, AKA you are upper 40s, I'll put some numbers on it because I'm 40s,
Oh,
right?
that kind of experience.
So if you are already in your 40s, right, and you're coming to me for a lifestyle change, the emphasis of resistance training is great for fat loss, right? So there's importance there. But if you're already got that experience, like I do, I'm leaning heavily into, hey, we need to focus on resistance training. We need to get that protein intake up. And hopefully that's just a light bulb for some of those, individuals that are listeners, why we do that, right? So yes, making sure that we got adequate protein in the diet, making sure that we are spending, good resistance training and making sure that, the intent behind the resistance training is there. You mentioned earlier, like using Jane Fonda, like, hey, the 2 pound dumbbells.
Who, by the way, Jane Fonda is a queen. So
Yeah.
this is no shade. This is no
Yeah.
shade.
Hey, and there's no shame if you're doing 2 pound dumbbells. If that's what you're doing right now is your resistance,
Yeah.
I'm
Yeah.
okay with that. That's a starting point. Am I going to teach you to get a little bit heavier ones? 100%. Right?
And the
Because
reason for that, right, is because we have to progress. Yep. That's another key point, right? There are so many levels of resistance training, and everyone is going to start somewhere different. Jeremy mentioned body weight earlier. Body weight is a form of resistance training. But if you body weight, for 50 years and you never add load to that, it will eventually those benefits will no longer apply, right? There has to be that principle of progressive overload. And that's probably a whole nother episode for us to get into, but you have to progress what you're doing in order to, it goes back to the mental benefits, right? You constantly have to challenge yourself in order for you to continue to reap the benefits.
And one of the things that you sent over in your research that you'd done, that I liked was, just talking about like it decreases too, like the more muscle mass that you have, right? The functionality of that muscle tissue, like it shows that there's decreased risk of your falling, right? So those, that do have falls, right? In 65 plus, the falls that are occurring are more likely to occur in those individuals that have less muscle tissue, right? And you look at, unfortunately, like, hey, if you're 70 years old or plus and you fall and you break your femur, your thigh bone, the likelihood of survival is actually very low, right? If they have to do a surgery on that bone, like the likelihood of that is really low. And I want people to understand that. And then the last thing
to touch on that, Jeremy, too, it's not just like the survival, it's the quality of life. When you fall and you break something and you're older and I'm not saying that resistance training guarantees that these things won't happen, right? We're saying that it mitigates the risk.
Yes.
But the chances of you ending up in a nursing home from just a fall are exceptionally high. And there have been correlative studies and results that have shown after that break, there's a significant loss of independence at an age that these individuals could still be very independent. And that is isolating. And it, as Jeremy said, unfortunately has a big impact then on mortality or, length of life.
Yeah. And, I can't remember. This is a great thing when I can't remember what podcast we talked about it, but Katie and I went and did a gravel ride a couple weekends ago and we linked up with this guy and we just got to talking and he was 82 years young, right? 82 years old out there, like living life and that's what it's about. Right. So yes, take home message with everything we're talking about is go do some resistance training, right? Go start somewhere with your resistance training, and progress from there. And like I said, if you've never touched a barbell, reach out to one of us as we go and try to change this.
Yeah, please.
We're going to change the world and teach people how to get barbells in their hands and move with these barbells. Or dumbbells are okay. Kettlebells are okay.
We got a little bias here.
Yeah. My point to that is any of those objects, we can increase the load. Right. So, you can get heavier kettlebells, you can get heavier dumbbells, you can get heavier, you can put more weights on the barbell. Those things that we can gradually produce and increase that load, like we talk about over time. And I do, I hope you took notes down for our notes, Maddie. I'd love to do, progressive overload. Go into what rep ranges, based on certain people's goals.
Yeah. Maybe an episode where if we've sold anyone who wasn't resistance training yet on resistance training, where they can start so that it can be effective. I think that would be awesome.
100%. I love it. Hey, as always, I appreciate you carving out time in your busy schedule, to come on every few weeks and knock these out. They've been fun. They've been, I always like the conversation, great conversations. I think, especially with when you're in that health space right now in a little bit, maybe of a not as narrow as a space. Like I am in the body composition, the fat loss. My window and, having you come on, have these conversations in that wider spectrum, I think is always great. And I just appreciate the conversation.
Thanks, Jeremy. These are some of the best times of my week. So I'm really grateful to you. I'm grateful to your listeners and I always look forward to the next one. So thanks.
Awesome. Guys and gals, have a great day. Until next time, go kick some butt.